All right, man, welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 664. Jason Lingard is with me, and His Excellency, the Marquis de Saint-Germain, is joining us. Fortune, as we have known him in the past, and we've got quite a bit to cover. We're going to cover what's going on, how we got to where we are, and in hour two, we're going to talk about things you can do for improvements, to include meditations. Also, I am told Fortune has produced a meditation disc. By the time this comes out in a day or two, I will have links under the episode. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a rather cool good morning.
And welcome, Fortune. How are you?
From the Golden Castle, at the end of the world, where the rainbow begins, in honor of the new year and all of you, my dear friends, I bring you Alchemy, Infinity, and Miracles.
Hey, it's so great to have you back again, Fortune. Thank you for joining us.
And it's great that we're all here in the halls of Morris High School once again for another learning session. Actually, we're in the halls of eternity right now. Bigger and better than Morris High School are the halls of eternity, where the real alchemists dwell.
So before we jump in here, Jason, is there anything you'd like to bring up or cover before we get into the main flow here?
Well, this should be a very important episode for those wanting to know how things might be going down in this new year and what you can do to help yourself and others coming up.
So before we jump in to the notes that we've got together for all this, is there anything you'd like to say?
No.
Okay. Well, there it is. And to remind everybody, there will be a link to Fortune's new meditation disc, probably in the description. It will be available in the blog, the description. And that's probably it. So Fortune, we're going to talk about first here how we got to this year, 2026. And actually, I'm just going to throw it to you. Go ahead.
We begin with the great invocation, everyone. So we say thank you for your priceless, miraculous, and infinite blessings and gifts. We bless Mother Earth and all life with divine alchemy, infinity, and miracles. This is what it is. And infinitely more. We surrender in aspiring love, faith, and joy. 2026 is a critical year. Therefore, know your mission, meaning know what you want and where you want to be. And we begin with part one, how we got here. The subtitle is While the World Was Busy Being Busy. Post-war, post-World War II, you were sold the American Dream, which was a post-World War II invention and a marketing ploy. It was also a blip and an anomaly on the radar. They got you to buy homes, college education, cars, built-in obsolescence, and to get you in debt permanently so that you could owe your soul to the company store. They found a way to do it. Before World War II, let me remind everyone, like all of history before that, you worked until you died or became ill, and then your family took care of you. So one of the things that made the 50s and most of the 60s, that great golden time that does not exist anymore, was there was no competition. Japan, England, and Germany, their industries were destroyed during the war. So America was the only country online for almost 20 years or a little more that was doing any business and providing the world. We had an export surplus. So Japan, England, and Germany started coming back online in the late 60s and early 70s. And people used to laugh when they saw something made in Japan because it meant junk. Plus, during the 50s and 60s, the government spending to build infrastructure and the military was also boosting up the economy tremendously. There was the Bretton Woods Agreement, which made the U.S. the reserve currency, and that worked as long as there was a trade surplus, meaning America was exporting and was importing very little. All of this, as I said, was a blip on the radar. It was a momentary anomaly, and now we're going back to what always has been for most of history. So those 20 or 25 golden years that we knew are actually never, never coming back. And it only happened accidentally because things came together at a certain time. So just remember, life and living was and has been pre-World War II, transgenerational and cooperative. The home, those people who did own homes, they lived transgenerationally, and the homes were passed down through the generations.
You know, in this day and age, Fortune, you can see the marketing behind what you're saying in film and TV. It's like the butt of a joke if you're 18 years old and you haven't moved and gotten away from your parents, which fits right in as a marketing ploy, doesn't it?
Well, they're going to the 50-year mortgage now, and they're going to go to something like, I think it's a 15-year car loan to pay off, because most people are going to have problems with the 30-year mortgage, which is a scam anyway, because by the time you finish paying your mortgage out over 30 years, you're paying three times what you bought the house for. And on top of that, you're not taking into account your yearly property taxes, insurance, what it costs to fix up the house, cars, gasoline for the cars, heating, electricity, water, and other miscellaneous things, car insurance as well. So all of these things came about post-World War II as the great marketing ploy. Now, we go to something that's very, very interesting. We go to the McCarthy. It's not the McCarthy era, because you see, McCarthy was in the Senate. The House of Un-American Activities was in the House of Representatives. So McCarthy's Senate hearings were Army-Navy hearings, and they were mainly on communist infiltration in the Navy. This is very, very important, because three people came to McCarthy. One was from the FBI, one was from the military, and one was from the CIA, and they presented him with evidence. Now, on that hearing, JFK was a senator, Robert F. Kennedy was junior counsel to Roy Cohn, and the head of the committee was a man named Senator Munt, who was a fan of McCarthy and never denounced him. They reviled McCarthy because what McCarthy stumbled on from the help of these three people who gave him the information, he didn't know what to call it. He stumbled on the New World Order, which was coming out of the United Nations. And let me remind you again, most of the people that were Americans that helped set up the United Nations went to jail for treason. So McCarthy happened on this, and Robert Kennedy Jr., his sister, Kathleen, Senator McCarthy, was her godfather. So what the Kennedys found while they were on that hearing haunted them, and they brought all of this information into the White House with them. He did find something, because there was something there. He just did not know what to call it. So now we are in the stages where the New World Order is here, the brave new world. And it means radical socialism, communism for all. You will own nothing and be happy, which basically is communism. So what the Kennedys found, they carried into the White House with them. They were not supposed to stumble on top of that. We talk about the Kennedys in the White House. It was the military slash the CIA. The CIA carried it out, and the military wanted him gone, because he was trying to take the country into a peace economy. When we came out of World War II, the bureaucracy grew. The military and the CIA, the National Security Act, they were pigs at the trough, eating up a lot of money. And Kennedy wanted to take the country to a peacetime economy. He wanted to end the Cold War. He did not get involved. He backed off in the Cuban Missile Crisis, where because we had put in missiles on the border of Turkey near Georgia, they wanted to teach us a lesson by seeing how we liked it if they put missiles right on our borders. So Kennedy backed down. He made a deal with the Soviets, and he and Khrushchev wanted to make certain deals, which both sides, the Russians behind him, the Soviets did not want him to make those deals, and the American military and CIA did not want Kennedy to make those deals. So this is the real reason. Plus, Kennedy had signed an order to abolish the Fed. So right after Kennedy is murdered, you see not long after that, and I mean a very short time after that, Khrushchev is pushed out. we go now to the early 80s and 90s. Here is the great lie, my friends. They told you we're going to a service economy. That was the lie to say your jobs are going overseas and they're never coming back. There's no such thing as a service economy. And the man who invented that term has currently come forth and said that he invented it and he knew he was lying. So they weren't going to tell you that they were lying and that you and this country were being decapitated by sending jobs overseas for cheap labor. And as a result of this, they went to the credit, encouraging credit and credit cards and mass borrowing so that you could maintain, or most people could maintain, the luxuries that they were living in that most of history we had never seen before. Now, as things are collapsing in on themselves, most people are using credit for the necessities.
Fortune, not to interrupt, but that happened when I was in my 20s. When I was first trying to get a credit card at 18, 19, you couldn't do it without a cosign from your parents. And your parents had to be solid to cosign. But by the time I was in my young 20s, the credit card companies were starting to set up outside the colleges and hand out the credit to everybody.
Well, like I said, how we got here, while the world was busy being busy, and that meant nobody was paying attention, they were at the top. They knew what they were doing. Just most people couldn't see it or didn't have the time to see it or didn't want to see it. So this is where we are now. Now, in 1985, a structural analysis is done of the World Trade Centers because all buildings must pass inspection, just like bridges. And around 1985, a structural analysis was done of the Twin Towers. And it was found that the steel frame at the bottom was fatiguing and that the building would have to come down somewhere by 2005. And nothing of that size had ever been taken down before. And it would have been too costly to take down in the usual way. And a building like that, two buildings right next to each other, next to many, many other buildings, in a usual implosion would have been impossible. So we come to the 2001 World Trade Center attack, and there were many, many other aspects of what went on there, how it was done, who did it. There were many hands in it. And this was also not only a PSYOP and a false flag, but it was also involved black magic. Now, as we go in and we talk about black magic, Jesus said to the followers, the devil only has the power you give him. So, who God has blessed may no man curse. This magic does not affect people who are spiritual and are strongly entrenched on the path. It only affects people who buy into it. And that's going to lead us in the second part into what you can do in 2026 to repel all of that is coming in the very, very raucous year ahead. So, as we are talking about rising prices and inflation, which we will get to soon, we come to 2008, which was the collapse of the economy, too big to fail, the bailouts. They actually didn't know what to do, so they took to printing money and bailing out the two bigs. And that was, by the way, your money. And then 2020 comes, COVID. That was a cover for the collapsing economy. It was a PSYOP. It was a dark spell, as you remember Donald Trump saying, this dark spell we're under. It was an obedience test. It was an IQ test as well, by the way, which many, many people or most of the world failed. And people had brought up to me saying there were hundreds of CEOs cashing out between August and September. They were cashing out not because they knew the PSYOP was coming. They were cashing out because they knew the economy was collapsing again because we never really recovered from 2008. So instead of them fearing another bailout where they were bailing themselves a second time, they used COVID as the cover to print money and write themselves out blank checks. So there was more money printed in that time of the COVID PSYOP than there was in all of the American history put together. So that brings us, for some background information, to tell you what led up to this and where we are now.
All the CEOs that did that, What did they do with that money? How did they restructure their finances?
Well, many retired, and as you people at the top basically always win. So if you go on YouTube and the internet, and they have some great, great shorts that are like 10 to 15 minutes, and they tell you what really happened in the stock market crash and how the people at the top, most of them had protected themselves, and many of them had sold before it even happened. So they walked away like princes, selling short.
Jason, are you meaning, did they put it back into dollars? Is that what you were getting at?
Well, just what did they do? If they cashed out, they had liquidity to work with. And I'm just wondering, what did they do to shore themselves up for the coming years? Because that's now several years ago.
It's interesting that you say this. Before the 29 crash, you could walk into a bank and ask for all your money and have it given to you in a bag and walk out with your money. You can't do that anymore. And even if you do get your money, you're going to get it in a check and you're going to have to wait. So they were able to cash out. People could go into the bank and just take out your money, the average ordinary person. Your stock could be sold and you could sell it and get the money within a day. You cannot do that anymore. So that's all gone. And now if you try to go in and you want all your money out, you're going to have to fill out all sorts of forms. You're going to have to give reasons why you want your money. And then it's up to the bank's discretion whether they're even going to let you have it or not, or what increments they're going to let you have it in. So the minute you go in, as a matter of fact, you can't get all your money out anymore at the ATM or at the bank because there's a daily limit. And plus, you will be red flagged because they'll flag you for suspicious activity.
Well, I know in the United States that if you try and get more than a few $1,000, they start asking you a bunch of questions. And yes, indeed, it sends off a red flag.
To get your own money.
Well, something that everyone's missing. Under the Obama administration, they changed the banking laws. So if you read the banking laws, the minute you deposit that money in the bank, it's not your money anymore. You become a creditor. So the minute that money goes in the bank, you are a creditor to the bank. It's not your money.
So Fortune, is this a good place to ask a few questions about what you've covered so far?
Ask anything you want, my friend.
So when we go through these historic timelines, it gets difficult on a lot of levels. And you know me pretty well. You know how I feel about the presidents and 9/11. Do you feel like there was any chance when, as an example, the Twin Towers were built, someone knew they were coming down already? Because that's kind of how I view it.
No, I don't.
You don't think so?
I actually don't see that. It started in 85 with the structural analysis, and then they were sold right before the attack to Larry Silverstein. And he went out and took out the largest insurance policy in history, which was so large, it took something like 10 to 20 insurance companies together. And plus, I have to tell you, the Twin Towers was built by the New York City Port Authority, and it was perpetually 50% empty.
Doesn't that seem odd, though? That's one of the things that I was mentioning. To put up structures like that, if you were intending to have a real building with real use, one of the basic things you would do is try to get it full of businesses.
When a building is built, you usually have to guarantee for yourself before building it that you're going to have at least 25% occupancy. Plus, that was built as a statement, just as the Empire State Building was built as a statement during the Depression to show it could be done. But when the Empire State Building opened, it was mostly empty because of the Depression, and it was a financial failure. In the long term, it was a financial success. But at the beginning, it was a financial failure that sat mostly empty. And it was built to just show as a symbol that we can go ahead and do things, even in the Depression.
So you pointed out that the UN was behind some of the things going on during the McCarthy era, as it's typically called. Do you feel like the first run, what was it, the League of Nations, was that a legitimate first run to get a UN-like establishment, but it failed?
Correct, because there were too many people, senators and representatives, congressmen, who were pre-World War II people who knew about the Constitution and the old days and the old world, and everything had not become totally corrupt yet. So there were so many people that were alive. Remember, pre-World War II, our game change is World War I. everything changed after that. So from World War One till today, everything has been, every generation has fallen further and further. The 30s was a little bit, even though it was a tough time economically, most of the people alive grew up in a time of Victorian Edwardian values, which meant thrift, family, cohesiveness. So they returned when the great party ended, the carnival stopped in 29, the jazz era ended, people went back to their basic and core values, which is what is going to happen for most people to be able to make it through in this coming year and in coming years. But we will talk about that afterwards. The problem is that most of the people today, where we are living now and the world we're living, are so spoiled, they just want the party to go on. Don't stop the carnival is the motto. And nobody wants to give an inch. Nobody wants to start scaling down. I don't see the depression. People moved in with each other. They took care of each other. I don't see that happening. All I see wherever I go is people screaming. They want things to continue. And unfortunately, that's over.
So I had a view, and I want to see if you agree. World War One was the massive change point from a respectable world to headed to where we are now. World War II was further anchoring and the shuffling of things. And I mark where the open push came at JFK. That's where I mark they're out in the light of day now and steaming forward, and it's going to come more so each decade that goes by all the way up to 9/11. Do you agree with that assessment?
JFK's problem was he thought he was the president. Actually, at that time, he did have the power to abolish the CIA. They went up against the machine. The Colossus had grown too big by that point. It was a golem, G-O-L-E-M, the inanimate monster that came to life. So that was the last time any president had real power independently. Before that, Eisenhower saw the reins of power slipping through his hands and really didn't do anything to stop it. Truman was the very, very last president to really have any control over the machine, total control or any great control over the machine. Then Kennedy came in too late. He thought he was able to do something. But every president you've had after Kennedy has just been part of the machine in some way to a greater or lesser degree and did what they were told. Unless it was the Bushes or Lyndon Johnson, because Lyndon Johnson was CIA, FBI, and military all rolled into one. So he was the machine. And by the way, J. Edgar Hoover, and he lived next door to each other, J. Edgar Hoover was the godfather to Lyndon Johnson's children. So the Bushes and Lyndon Johnson were one and the same as the machine.
So this is where I run afoul. From everything that I've looked at, I don't think we've ever had a legit president in the list we're handed in history books, to the point where the first president isn't even, Jason and I covered this, he's not even close to the first president. If you want to mess with definitions and stuff, I don't know, maybe you can start to try to make a claim, but the point is there were a number of people before him and they're just not mentioned. But to me, they're all actors. They're all playing roles. And this is what's so hard to address these things, because if in fact presidents before Kennedy had power, that's a pretty important thing. And from what I've seen, I just don't accept it. And I don't really want to go down this road, but I figured I'd put it on the record. So, Jason, do you have anything you want to add before we get back into the timeline that Fortune provided us?
Well, when you're saying about the military-industrial complex, we did a very extensive show on that. Yeah. And what it seems to be is that it grew out of World War II to be this massive, insane creature. Would you say that's where things started really getting out of control, because they poured so much money into all those industries?
Correct. The bureaucracy grew, and right afterwards, the National Security Act, which is unconstitutional, by the way, but just to let everyone know listening, forget the Constitution. There is no more Constitution. It's not obeyed. And the sooner everyone wakes up and realizes that, there might be some chances to actually do something to revamp and rework it and actually get some of your rights back, which are as you see, being taken away from you on a daily basis. Now, that eases us into where we are now. All right, chaotic nodes. This is part of what is happening now in our sector of the universe. They are chaotic nodes. There's no way of escaping it because this is what is happening. And this is part of a cycle. We are in the sixth mass extinction, whether you like it or not, and the collapse of old systems and paradigms. And I'm just telling you what is. Now, if you look at this as bad, it will become negative. If you look at it as a challenge and a lesson, and you work with it in an alchemical and a spiritual way, it will actually become a blessing and make you stronger and help us all get through it. One thing I have to tell you, in my meditations, just as I said, there's no more constitution and everything is done by presidential edict now, the executive decision. Humanity has given up on itself, and we need to accept that. So the only thing that we have are people screaming, don't stop the carnival. And as I said, nobody wants to budge. Therefore, since there's no real organized mass resistance, you're going to have to do this individually on your own. So you're going to have to stand and deliver and shelter in place wherever you are. And just to make something very, very clear, everything is militarized and weaponized, and everyone is targeted. The automation business, what we call AI and automization, you are no longer needed. They don't need you anymore. So whereas they used to let people come into America after the Civil War to the early 20s, they needed people to work in the factories. The reason why they stopped immigration in the early 20s was because they didn't need any people to work in the factories anymore. They reached the point of capacity and satiation. Now, around 1950, the United States realized it was using up 50% of the world's resources and had only 7% of the population. The powers that be now, what you're watching go on with Greenland, the West failed at trying to topple Russia. They did not topple Russia. The Ukraine business failed. So Trump now is going north to south, Greenland, Canada, Venezuela, the oil. Greenland has all the things. This is a push behind him of what you would call today the tech bros or the broligarchy or the technocracy, because they need all those minerals for the world surveillance AI system. And just let me give you something here. There's no such thing as AI, so don't buy into that. But people at the top, the way the world is going, there's no longer enough to go around for everyone if everyone keeps living the way they are. So this is a rape and plunder plot on top of China, and they wanted Russia out of Venezuela. So Trump is trying, and the military are trying to secure the Western Hemisphere for America. And that's why he's also talking about Canada. And some of those sea lanes are becoming open in north of Greenland, where we already and have always had a military base. So a lot of this Greenland thing is theater, by the way, because he's probably going to get it because the people that are building the data centers, which is where we're going now, it doesn't matter whether China comes out on top or the United States comes out on top. All of the countries are going to total surveillance of the people that live in their countries. And they're also going to rationing and data centers. So besides the inflation from printing all of this money and the collapse of the world chains after COVID, which are never coming back to normal, part of your rising costs for energy are because of all the data centers that are being built. And the data centers are going to build the electronic prison, which all of you are going to be encased in. So if you look at the energy costs that are rising, you're paying for your own prison. You're paying to build your own prison because you're paying for these data centers. And it's going to be ramped up now, as you see, because this is a grab for the final end of resources and borders and land and who gets what. So you're likely going to see a war in the next few years, as they keep saying, get ready for war in Europe, the NATO countries. So,
and who would that be a war between?
It's either going to be against China, as you see, they're trying to ramp up the war with Iran in the Middle East. Israel has its goals. We have our goals. As I said, Trump knows we failed. We didn't win in the Ukraine. So that's why he's going to Greenland for the minerals. We couldn't knock Russia out. Russia is self-sufficient. Russia has no debt, by the way. They don't have a central bank. And I was recently watching some videos of Americans and Brits that went to Russia, and they're living there. And here's what I saw in the energy of Russia. I saw that Russia is on an upswing. Their culture and their economy are going up. The BRICS nations don't need the West anymore. They don't need the American dollar. So the BRICS nations can do without us, especially Russia. Russia is self-sufficient. So when I looked at the energy in St. Petersburg and Moscow, they're on an upswing. We are in the death throes. So when you see now the American government and the governments in Western Europe are turning against their own people, this is what Rome did at the end. The snake is eating its tail. The empire and the dying civilization is taking everything it can to keep living. And that is why they're turning against their own people.
You know, wouldn't you consider that Greenland is like the biggest bellwether going, if for no other reason, perception, the idea that someone, a president, can just say, I want that country and then get it? I mean, if that actually goes down, the perception of the world will have changed, will it not?
Well, like I said, while you were sleeping and while everyone was busy being busy, the 20th century looked a lot cleaner than the other centuries. All wars and all countries are involved in land grab, plunder, and resource grabs. Every country everywhere is playing the same game. Just some are much better at it than others. At the time of Rome, they were great at doing that. So they were smarter and quicker and more organized. The British Empire, the same thing. China ruled over most of Asia for 1,000 years. They want their empire back. They want their shipping lanes back, which are the busiest shipping lanes in the world, the Chinese South Seas, which the only thing keeping them open is the American Navy. We forget that after the Battle of Waterloo, which kicks off 100 years of the British world supremacy, which was called the Pax Britannica, Britain wiped out piracy on the high seas globally. So that allowed all countries, even though Britain was in control and they were at the top of the heap, that wiping out of piracy allowed those shipping lanes to be free and commerce could flow freely. Now it's the United States that are policing the shipping lanes and keeping them open and keeping piracy down. So good, bad, or ugly, this is just the way it is. And good, bad, or ugly, all countries have always engaged in wars over plunder and land grabs and resources. It's just becoming more fierce now because they're convinced that there's not enough to go around.
As an example, Fortune, if the president fails to get Greenland, is that a big deal?
Let's do it this way. You are all, or most people are under the misconception that this is Trump just being Trump. There are people behind him that pull his strings too. We have bank. We have military. Notice that he keeps giving the military whatever it wants. The Space Force, whatever that really entails, was an expansion of the military. The people behind him, the people that put him in, that he owes Mrs. Adelson, who gave him $100 million. So he has to go with the Israel lobby because Sheldon Adelson's widow was his biggest campaign donor. And when Sheldon Adelson, the king of Las Vegas, was alive before COVID, he gave also $100 million. He was Trump's biggest supporter. So you have to do the payback of the people who give to you. Uncle Sheldon was a small-time bookie from Boston. And then he became a big-time bookie in Las Vegas. Another one of Trump's biggest donors was Elon Musk. So Elon Musk got him in and helped him get in. So he owes the tech giants, the brolagogues, the technocracy, So when Elon Musk came in under the guise of Doge, of Department of Government Efficiency, which Elon Musk said was a failure, that was the biggest information scoop ever. And it had to do with taking information on all of the citizens of the United States. He didn't get to go into the military's files. He didn't get to go into the CIA. And he was told he couldn't have any information from NASA. So that is what led to the fight between Trump and Elon Musk, because he wasn't allowed to go in and do any information scoop in NASA. So you may think Trump is a wild man. These are the people behind Trump who are telling him what he has to do, the people that put him in. You have to pay back the people who put you in, you know?
I agree. Absolutely. I think that they're not doing anything that they haven't already worked out, and they're pretty sure one way, hook or crook, that they'll succeed by the time it goes out over the media system. Anyhow, that brings us up to
where we are going. We're going to a world surveillance system. Basically, they already have most of the where we live, our sphere. They have it covered. So they can basically see almost anything. As I said, don't buy in to the AI lie. It's automated algorithms. It doesn't think for itself. It doesn't have a consciousness. It just will just do what it's programmed to do, and maybe can write programming on its own to a certain point. But it only has the power that you give it. And just remember now, the push is this big year for digital money. So they're going to do their best to wipe out currency, which means that everyone's going to have a cell phone in order to buy anything. You know, the beast system. You're going to have to be automated. And also by 2030, sadly, 90% of the world will be unemployed. So most people will be on UBI. You'll be in your 15-minute cities. Nobody's going to stop you from walking out of the 15-minute zone. But the minute you do, none of your electronics will work. So you can walk as far out as you want. You can get into the Tesla self-driving car. It will stop at the 15-minute city. And if you're wanted, or if they don't like what you're doing, you'll get in the car and it'll drive you to the police station. It'll lock your doors. Everything comes at a price. Unfortunately, man is a lazy beast. So he's going to always take what makes life easier for him in the short run, even though it's not in the long run. So electricity is their power. The best thing that everyone listening to this can do is turn off the computer and turn off your cell phone and spend more time in the real world with real people, because everything is going digital. Even reality is going digital. I know that makes no sense, but reality is going digital. And very soon, in order to log on and use the net, you're going to have your digital ID to prove you are a real person and not a bot. Now, I know all of this is nonsense, but they've done it. And it's just the death by a thousand cuts. As I said, the walls keep closing in on us. So we are in the early stages of Blade Runner.
Who is going to control the central currency, the digital currency?
Russia will have its own. China will have its own. The United States will have its own. And just let me say something. This is something most people do not know. And since Young Crow has said many of the readers are interested in some things, what I do during the day and what my days are like, so I share with you, I am a voracious reader. I was supposed to be a university professor long ago. And instead of making the jump from being a high school teacher, I never made the jump to university. I took a world tour when I decided I no longer wanted to be a teacher after 4 years, and I traveled the world for a few years. That was my second world tour. The first one was with my grandparents growing up with them. And then when I got off, I met some amazing people. I was ill with what you would call chronic fatigue, and a very special doctor helped me, and I became interested in medicine. So that's what got me into medicine and the esoterics. And it was totally, totally unplanned. So being a voracious reader and somebody who loves learning, and I love listening to podcasts like this show, is how we found each other. So when Young Crow advertised for The Alchemist. I was reading the classified ads and there was someone looking for an alchemist. So I applied. But here is the sad part. And this is something that very few people know. I was watching on YouTube. The Chinese have already perfected this surveillance system where you cannot walk very far without being identified. And I mean a half block, because everything is under surveillance. The people that did not obey in China already have been erased from the system. The people that did not go along with the social crediting and they refused to comply and they ran out of social credits, their identities have either been locked or erased. They live on the streets in the millions throughout China. People have filmed this. And those people that try and give them help or food or money, if they are seen on the social crediting system, their social credits get, they are demerited. They lose social credits. So take this very, very seriously, because we are at the doorstep of that. And this year, you know, the digital currency, the push is going to go on. They're not going to stop the cash, but they're going to keep decreasing it and decreasing it. As you see, no more penny. They're going to keep decreasing it till one day you're just going to look around in a very, very short time and you're going to see it's all electronic. The Soviets tried something like that, a cashless society, and it failed. So all of you out there listening to this program, I'm going to give you a homework assignment for the new year. In your daily prayers, invoke to the Supreme God. And we invoke to the Supreme God so we know that it's going to the highest. It's going to the center of all being and creation. So whenever you make your prayers and your invocations and your blessings, it's always to the Supreme God, the divine, the all. Because that is going to where it's supposed to go. That is going out to the whole cosmos. Invoke that they trip themselves up, because without that, they're going to pull this off. They already have. So invoke in your daily prayers with all of your heart that they trip themselves up. Ask for divine intervention that they do not succeed. You are the heroes of the present and tomorrow. And what is the problem is the world lacks heroes. The world has stopped dreaming. That is why we are in the situation we're in. And something that we all need to do that will help us all, this is both a beautiful alchemical blessing, which is going to lead us into part two. And I taught this on some previous episodes. When you say these invocations, you breathe in through your root chakra, those are your feet, and your crown, and it meets in the heart. The color is gold. You breathe in while you're saying these blessings, and when you finish, you breathe out through the heart. You not only breathe out through the nose, but you breathe out through your heart. And here is one of the great alchemical and blessings that we can do. So we say every day, how I long, Divine Mother Father, to the Supreme God, Divine Mother Father, how I long to be on earth for Mother Earth and all life, a loving consolation and refuge as you have been for me. We bless Mother Earth and all life with the greatest blessings of all infinity. And then you breathe out, you picture Mother Earth and all life, and you breathe that out. And as you are doing that, you are blessing yourself. So even if you return all the energy in India, the gurus say to you, when you become a really good, adept, advanced student, you give everything back that you breathed in and you give everything back to the universe or Mother Earth. But even when you're doing that, it's blessing yourself. And that is how we are going to start the new year and open for part two.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned that, the idea of the Supreme God. Years ago, I got stumbled up on my daily prayers because I didn't want to pray to something that I wasn't intending to. I had realized earlier in life that that happens, but I have included in my prayers, maybe not every day, but it's getting to be more so that the powers that be would fail at what they're doing. But Jason, we're getting close to the top of the hour. Is there anything you'd like to bring up?
I've always been curious for many years now, why do the people of China not try and fight back against their very terrible government?
That goes all the way back to Greece.
Oh, the Chinese and the East have always, the Asians have always been very obedient people. You never had mass uprisings in the East, almost never, except for Tiananmen Square. So the Chinese and Asians have always been very obedient people. The Asia has never really known democracy. Democracy comes out of the Renaissance values, which is the rebirth of ancient Greece and Rome, and then the Enlightenment, which was born of the Renaissance, the great age of reason in the 1700s. So China never got that, just as Russia. The Enlightenment and the Renaissance stopped at the borders of Russia, all the Catholic countries. Russia is an Orthodox country. The Enlightenment and those values and the values of the Renaissance never made it to the Eastern Orthodoxy and Russia. But, you know, there's always hope. And this will bring us to one last thing. Because you are all being lied to from all sides, and also by a great deal of people on the internet who claim to be spiritual people or channelers or gurus, this is not a prison planet. You are not here to be punished. You should not think of this as a nightmare world or Blade Runner, because it's not that. The jackals at the top, who are psychos, sociopaths, and are in many cases evil as well. I mean, a psychopath and a sociopath are psychological diagnoses, meaning you're sick. But many of these people are not only psychopaths and sociopaths, they're also evil. But if you don't buy in, it can't hurt you. So a con man can only trick the greedy. So don't believe any of these things. Third dimension consciousness was created by the Patel and the founders, and it was created by an evil group of people, and you are children of a lesser god. Many, many places in the universe are created by creator gods who are not the central soul, but you are a divine spark. So you are part of the greater whole, and you being a divine spark, you can never be destroyed. Your soul is eternal. It belongs to God because you are part of that energy, and God does not destroy a part of itself. And you work for God. Nobody can fire you.
Hence the importance of praying properly, which when I was young, I didn't even realize that there was any need for that. Jason, is there anything else you'd like to bring up before I wrap hour one and we take a short break?
Do you know what the time frame is for the switch over to digital currencies?
They're pushing this year. Europe starts in this year of the fall. The European Union will start pushing for it. But they're already pushing for it here in the United States. They say no CBDC, but it's the stable coin is going to be the digital currency. And they're going to ease you into it through the crypto. So everyone is pushing crypto now, and they're going to ease you into that. And we are going to talk about this, the crypto, in the second part, but they are going to do their best to start easing you into it this year. It's already in the works. And what they're talking about, it's not going to be backed in gold. It's going to be backed in a minute. They're going to tell you, I think it's Oklahoma, Utah, and another state said that they're having something like gold-backed. It's such a minute amount that it's really not even gold-backed. And it's electronic, because I've seen some of the bills. And plus, you cannot take it into a bank and exchange it for gold. So it really isn't gold-backed. And plus, let us end on this. I want to make something very, very clear. If you cannot exchange something for something else, it has no value. So once everything goes digital, I mean, you'll ultimately be able to do barter with other people under the radar, which is where we're heading for spiritual people anyway, if you want to beat the system or beat the devil, as they say. But if you can't trade something in, then it has no value. And you're not going to be able to trade anything at that point. There won't be anything to trade your monthly digital credits for, and you will have to spend them. They will expire after about a month. So you'll have to spend whatever the UBI is, And you can forget all the Social Security and all of the other benefits. It's just going to be across the board UBI for everyone. And one of the sad things is right now is the younger people are waking up to the fact that those coming out of university or freshly out of university are never going to work again, or ever. It's almost impossible because work is drying up and they are just using the AI as an excuse to get rid of you. They don't want to pay you anymore. They don't want to pay you a living wage. And I know this is a bitter pill for everyone to swallow, but in order for us to do something about it, and there are methods, which we will discuss in part two, that we can do about it, even if they do win on setting up the system, there are ways out, like Moses with the Red Sea. He thought his back was against the wall, but he parted the Red Sea. So we're going to learn these alchemical methods in part two.
All right. I'll just reiterate, mind precedes all, and our minds help shape what we call the reality around us. And I pray every day that it will fail. And I hope that someday soon, many, many, many minds do so. This has been hour one of episode 664. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the whole episode. Members get access to all the forums and comments sections. They get free access to the film, Shoot the Moon. They get access to all the solar work I've done and am doing. And that's exclusive to membership. With that, we're going to take a short break, come back for hour two, and I hope to see everyone there logged in as a member. I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
Belief is the enemy of knowing.